Tyrant, Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Murney Singh, Episode 10. In this installment, Margot, on the verge of taking her family to Paris, has a dream. A dream. Night walking in a beech forest. She's a tawny owl, hooting. Branches creak, old bones. A full moon floats on up, a paper lantern. There's light enough to hug the river Oise. Crickets, marsh frogs, gurgling stones. White figures float, the Earl in chainmail, Lady Eleanor in a gown, marble dogs, white ghosts yap on ahead. The couple hold hands, stop, gaze at the other. My lady, my lord, she answers, smiling. Dogs prick ears, then bark. A wild boar rushes from the ferns, passes a cottage, smoking chimney. The Earl steps up, knocks three times. Lady of the woods, lady of the woods. Margaret, owl-eyed, comes close. The oak door opens. Grandma Mimi, cap and apron, passes a package. They bow, leave. Grandmama turns to Margaret, soft smile. Come, child, I have been waiting.
No, Grandmama, I can't, my girls.
Let go. They are free as rabbits, Mimi answers. They are pebbles skipping across the river. Margot wakes to the welcome waft of coffee and ringing phone. Her tongue is glue. The girls are thrown down coats still half unpacked on the hotel bed. Reading Zen in a taxi in Long John's, Yogi overhears.
Sherry, Francine, oui, nous sommes à Paris.
A night flight. Then the metro rail to Paris, Gare du Nord, a knick-knack suitcase packed with first aid kits, mosquito nets to superglue, stowed in a locker. They take a hotel taxi to find Francine's place. Soon acrid coffee wafts as the redhead greets, Bonjour, chéries. Old study buddy Francine, says Cherie to all. The German tutor born in Paris now brings her giant soup bowl cups of coffee. Mon ami, before you have unpacked, please take it. Margaret's tongue unglues as caffeine rushes like a swerving taxi round her head as she recalls the taxi racing nights through the streets of Paris, the cars and scooters, all the buses packed with a nation that will answer to Cherie and tear and dunk croissants in morning coffee. Margot recalls when sex was red-hot glue in student days, if one would just unglue morality in pensions with the rat pack and curse the drivers in the ruder taxis. She'd learned to say in bed, Cherie, Cherie, seeing how Paris was in love with Paris, divining Frenchmen reading grinds of coffee. Margot sips a post-dated cup of coffee, but the girls in winter coats stay unpacked, and now the little demon tongues unglue.
Mummy, whines Pauline, where's the taxi? I had a dream. Where are we?
Cherie, says Francine, you are in Paris? Her Paris friend and she are still strong glue. The coffee is the same, so are the taxis. But her scaredy cat Cherie will not unpack. Had she protected timid girls too much? Their friends were solely one another. Had she simply passed some shy gene on, causing the girls to stick to her? As a child, was Margot a timid squirrel, red eyes crying to sleep? Why did Mom not tug her middle Margot in? Mimsy was the cuter kid.
Margaret had grown and learned the facts. There is one truth. She was alone, but did not know how this would all compound in the single mother-daughter zone. The future rang and rang. Francine returned with the house cell phone. For you, Shirley. The French grandparents wanted the girls today. The aunt will come. Her name's Marie. So Margot waved goodbye from the iron balcony, looking through the branches of a leafless chestnut tree. Adele looked back. Aunt yanked her frozen hand. Vion, vion! The old red squirrel in Margaret broke ionic bonds. Was this a mistake? Should she have let her rabbits slip away? She had brought them here for this, but today's no Mother's Day. It'll be fine, said Yogi. We'll get them back, just wait. They planned a family meal, Chateau de Fasson, at 8. Two friends so close who barely stayed in touch now laughed across the kitchen bench. For Yogi, all is Greek or double Dutch as hands gesticulate in French. Francine was off to teach her German classes. Here's a key. Auf Wiedersehen. Let's go, said Yogi. I've got the metro passes. Let's paddle boat upon the Seine. Here, and helped her into the overcoat. You're like Red Riding with the hood. Then she zipped his ski coat to the throat and patted his cheeks with sandalwood. There, je t'aime. She pecked him on each cheek. He grabbed her hard. I love you too. Okay, enough Parisian mystique for now. My city waits for you. Aunt Marie lugged her nieces underground into the metro, dragged them aboard a train. Paris piles in, Arab kids rap in French. The girls gawk and huddle like cold sheep. Marie asked about her brother, their father, in too fast French. Good is all they can muster. You speak Francais? Marie asked Adele in English. We're from Australia.
Oui, papa,
offered Pauline, nervous and embarrassed. They understand, but are too shy to speak.
Quel dommage,
Marie thought. What a pity. She offered silent caramels. Six stations, they debouched. Aunt Marie, spinster daughter, still lived with the old Giraud in their third floor apartment off Rupong. Grandmama opened.
Oh, mes pauvres chéris.
The girls mince in like fawns. A green floral room, wall lights like open cups spilling light over gilt-legged armchairs. Grandpapa was reading, knees crossed beside the fire.
My poor darlings, she said again in French. Marie, they look so tired,
fussing off their coats. She brought them to old Giraud, who brushed his fingers through their hair, asking who they were.
Are they the neighbors, girls?
No, they are your sons, Pierre's,
said Marie. He withdrew his hand.
Pierre's? Has he come? That good for nothing.
Papa, not in front of the girls. They visited my dear and her new husband. We told you last night, don't you remember?
They did not understand the animal shaking of his head and unfinished business with an only son who ran off to the Navy, then settled far away. The girls did not understand senility in a cardigan and looked at one another, too shaken to speak. Margot saw the plain and chestnut trees and lantern friends guarding each street, smells from cafes and patisseries, yet still the day was bittersweet. Another marriage. Might he too walk out? She stopped a taxi on the hill. Life's circular, a Paris roundabout. How long can mice run on a mill? Let's get down, she said. I know a place. The name was Café La Humaine. He thrust some francs into the cabbie's face and with her then dashed down a lane. They raced the rain to make it just in time. Monsieur, monsieur, un peu bleu, merci. As they sat down, the clock began to chime. He needed the toilet. She ordered tea. She once sat here with Airman Slaterman after they had met. He took a furlough, came from Chevres to pitch his wedding plan, her first tall love from Idaho. And now she'd walked with Yogi through this door, she 44, he 37. What would she look like after seven more? Would looks and ages come out even? The girls perched on the rose-pink couch, drinking Coke, nibbling cookies shaped like Eiffel Towers. They had been duly shelved, while Aunt Marie washed up after the meal, which they ate little of. Grandpapa was taking his after-lunch nap. Grandmama scrabbled crab-like in the bedroom. The telephone exploded the silent air. Pierre! The two girls' eyes lit up. Grandmama spoke in too fast French, then scuttled out with cordless phone to them. Australia! Adele spoke first in English. Papa! How are you, eh?
Good. And Pauline?
Good.
How is Grandmama?
Good.
And Grandpapa?
Good.
Is that all you have got to say?
Silence.
He laughs.
Pauline snatches the phone. Papa, we want to come home.
Silence.
I'm tired.
Silence.
Adele grabs back the phone. It's boring.
Silence. Then,
look, I never wanted you to go. Damn your mother, going off like that.
Adele bit her lip, buried things, just like her mum. Pauline wrestles back the phone.
When can we come home?
Soon, he said.
Papa, I miss you.
We miss you too. Put on your auntie. They said goodbye. Pauline ferried the phone, gave it up, reluctant as a half-licked lollipop. He and auntie argued. The girls then tried to eavesdrop from the cookie couch, feeling sad, feeling neglected, feeling jumpy and jealous. Child ache was there, atoll in an ocean of adult idiocy, far from home.
Margot felt a twitch of cold, different from the chill of walking up and down the boulevards, descending stairs to squares and statues of marble men and outstretched wings of angels. For hours now, after their late lunch, the twinge was turning to a throbbing behind her breastbone. She didn't act and pushed it hard away because the bittersweet of Paris past had pulled its hood over her head. She could not tell of Slaterman in the café of the first proposal, could not mention her false pride in marrying Parisian Pierre, instead told sunny tales of student years and jaunts. She did not want to dampen Yogi's je ne sais quoi, his empathy and thrills she'd felt leaning on a park bench here, throwing crumbs at pigeons. There was no need to do the Louvre or Notre Dame. A coffee, soup and bread, a walk, were plenty for Parisians who bring home a lovebird in the mouth.
I wonder how the girls are doing, he asked, and then the fatal twinge could not be pushed down any longer.
Come, it's late. We have to meet them at the restaurant.
Le Chateau de Fesson was there, between a hydrant and a lamplight.
You sure I won't get in your hair? My presence might be impolite.
She started to laugh.
That goes for me.
They think I did some devil dance and sirened their son across the sea away from their beloved France. The girls were waiting. Mummy, here. A long oak table in the corner. Pheasants were flying everywhere, framed against the red wallpaper. Bonjour, monsieur, Madame Marie. She was so ready to skip town. C'est mon mari, Yogi. He n'a pas su d'offrir. Five frown. The bonjour ritual continues. The French are French. No one is rude. They kiss each cheek and hands effuse. Nearby America sounds crude. He felt left out and let eyes ascend to the fat pheasant in each frame. Banished to the non-French end, the family played the dining game. Bouillabaisse, bœuf bourguignon. But what's for Margaret and her Yogi? Then it came. Un tarte d'oignon, the waiter said. Bon appétit. Margaret on the left bank, flanked by worn-out daughters, was dying to leave, but opposite the Giraud had yanked talk back to Pierre. She must deceive them, hiding how they pulled apart the smash years of his heavy hand, the dried-up sea sponge of her heart, the boat of her body left unmanned. She could not sprinkle salt and pepper or spill old bitterness like brown sauce and sat there feeling like a leper seen as the cause of a son's divorce. She couldn't defend old kiss and tell in front of daughters in love with dad. How so? Giroux, Paul and Adele both seemed. She felt both glad and sad. Margot had done what a mum should do, born the slur from Pierre's proud clan, so that her girls made their debut with where their faces half began. This was the last time they would meet. The Giroux sensed, and Margaret, her Paris years were now complete. She wouldn't be back, but the girls were set. She signaled to her Yogi, who returned a gentle nudge below. Au revoir. They were almost through. They hit the street and flakes of snow. Night fast-forwarded through the snowfall as they walked down the metro stairs onto a freezing platform, and then the whoosh of steel stood still. The power doors released, then freighted them with the fresh mutes who stood or sat between the sad past and future. They stepped like cattle from trucks at the designated station, their exit hole in the system. This Paris was no longer the future she wanted to be part of. Crunching the fallen snow, they dragged two tired girls back to Francine Street, where the plane trees and chestnuts like fallen angels stripped of their feathery leaves stood. Or was she the fallen one, dragging the little brood from one city of finished business to the next, striking each off her list? The baggage. There was nowhere quite to keep it. Sticking out from underneath the bed. It was lying open on the desk and thrown upon the dresser. Not just her own, a husband's and two daughters. Yet it was her baggage, all to pack, to put in order, to open and close at every place where they should land. A wife's, a mother's baggage. She had carried it for years onto planes, crossing oceans, passing through the checkpoints, lugging, stowing, chasing it like lumps of wedding cake around the baggage claim. Baggage stacked, baggage taking up the room inside her storeroom head, the bags of bulging hopes and upsets, the broken locks of untrue husband baggage, and now her grumpy daughters still too young to lug big bags. Yes, what to do? But now she'd found a willing man to carry all the bags. Yet who they won't accept. Although she dearly loved the girls to death with dresses, combs, hair clips, scrunchies, rainbow socks with toes, and soon lip gloss, the girly things, they weren't the same as her. She was the odd old bag. They slept, they talked, let free the night of pheasants. They packed the morning cab, hugged and kissed old friendship farewell, mon ami. Francine waved as they drove off, heads turning like doggies in the back window through avenues to Gare du Nord. They went to claim the India bag from a locker, waiting to be freed with a token, but the receptacle was a ribcage ripped right open with the baggage lifted away despite a time-lock combination. Margaret let loose French curses in the office of deaf officials, then shouted in English, "Ah, forget it." Her mind needed to board a plane, so she cut the baggage losses and made them run and run for the Charles de Gaulle Airport metro. Yogi wheels and lugs. Margaret hustles the girls inside the closing doors. The train rushes like blood down a vein to reach the air terminal just in time to check their baggage, stamp tickets, get themselves x-rayed, scanned and tagged aboard Air India Flight 108. The plane lifts through snow. Dog-tired, the girls nod off. Hugging either half of Margaret, who sighs aloud. Yogi smiles back. No talk, no need. Obligations are the jet trail. Leaning back, buckled in, excited, they're flying at last to India. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Tune in next week for another episode.